Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in Psalms. We're up to the 14th Psalm. And this is another rather short Psalm. It has an introduction to it. It says, to the choir master of David. So it means a Psalm of David. Now, this Psalm and Psalm 53 are quite similar. They're basically identical. They use different kinds of names for God. One will say Yahweh, one will say Elohim. Yahweh's more personal name. Elohim is like the general Hebrew word for a God. There are other Elohim. God is Elohim, but other Elohims are not God. Okay, just keep that in mind. But anyway, they're basically identical. This psalm, I use it a good bit, particularly with younger folks, because I'll tell them that you can make the Bible say just about anything you want to make it say. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there is no God. And this is a psalm that quotes it directly. It's in quotation marks. There is no God. And you go, what in the world? Yeah, listen to the first verse. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Well, there you go. Yeah, it's the fool who says in his heart. And the fool in the Old Testament is often used as someone who rejects God, okay? Says that there is no God. He's like it says it. So a fool says that there is no God. Now, many are the people today who declare that there is no God. Well, guess what? They are fools. They are fools. And they're fools that are actually wrestling against themselves because as I've said many times before in the past, and will likely many times in the future, Romans 1 tells us about these things. That there's two things that declare that God is real. First of all, God says, I have put an awareness of the reality of me, of myself, within every human being. Everybody has an awareness within themselves that God is real. And then the second is that of creation, the testimony of creation. So there's an inward testimony that God is real, that God places within every human being. And then there's an external testimony that God is real, that you can see by looking at creation. Not by looking and interpreting with what you think you've been taught, okay, or what you've basically been lied to about, but by looking at creation, you can know. Well, David, in writing this right, he says, these are foolish people. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. And then he starts to describe them. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. Verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. And we've already seen several times this picture of the Lord looking down from heaven. We actually get a lot of insight into the structure of the heavens, the structure of the dwelling place of God, if we just pay attention to it. Where we usually areas, we'll see a verse and we'll pay some attention, and then we try to extrapolate a lot of stuff from it that's not in the scripture. No, just pay attention to it. It says that the Lord looks down from heaven, and he's looking down upon the children of men, okay, upon the sons of men. And what's he looking down for? He's trying to see, are there any who seek after God? Are there any who have understanding? Well, the psalmist gives the answer, verse 3. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. That's the depth of depravity that David was dealing with. All of them are going astray. They're all corrupt. That there's nobody who does any good. There's not even one who does good. See the same kind of thing in the days of Noah, do we not? And what did Jesus say about his coming again? He said, it will be as in the days of Noah. Yeah, he does. Exactly what he says. Verse 4 continues, have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? So he's dealing with the fool, and he's dealing with those that have knowledge. And this is that Hebrew word we talked about before, yada, Y-A-D-A. You know, you've seen the sitcoms and things like that where people are going, yada, 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 yada. It's literally that word. The word means to know something. So when we say yada, 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 we're saying, you know, you know, you know, you know. It's just a throwaway kind of phrase. But he's saying these evildoers have no knowledge. They're eating up the Lord's people. And they don't even call upon the Lord. Verse 5 says, there they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. So now he's been talking about these evildoers. Now he's talking about those who are righteous, what's going to happen to them and why. They're in great terror because God is with the righteous. He's with the generation of the righteous. Verse 6, you should shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Lexham's a little clearer. You should put to shame the plan of the poor because Yahweh's in charge. New American Standard says that same type of thing too. That the Lord is our refuge. He is the one in whom we can hide in. New American Standard says, you would put to shame the counsel of the afflicted. And that's the idea behind this, that the Lord is going to put to shame the counsel of those who are trying to bring forth problems upon the people of the Lord. Let me see. Verse 6, you would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. The Lord is his refuge. So you see, he's picking up this idea again of the Lord being the refuge, the Lord being the one that even though there's terror about, that you can rest in the Lord. Let me back up verse 5. I feel like I skipped that or something. There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You would shame the plan of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. So you see what he's doing. He's saying, this is what the evil are trying to do. They're trying to corrupt. None of them do any good. They're coming against the righteous people. But he's saying they don't have any knowledge. They don't know what's going on. They're going to be in great terror and in great fear because God is with the righteous and with the generation of the righteous. Now, last couple of verses, verse 6. You would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice. Let Israel be glad. We've already seen this a couple of times where David closes the psalm out with a declaration, oh, that salvation would come for Israel, or come from Israel, or come out of Israel. David was looking for the ultimate salvation. He was looking for Messiah to come forth. And even when crying out because of what was being done by the evildoers and by those who say that there is no God, he knows that the bottom line is that salvation will only come at the hand of the Lord and would come for Israel out of Zion. The Lord Jesus Christ came the first time. The second time, he will come in this way right here. Yeah, little hints all the way through the Psalms about such. Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time, and I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.